Last week, several alert listeners caught me in a blunder as I described the U.S. prisoner abuse issue in Iraq. At the end of my commentary, I said, individuals wearing the uniform of the United States inflicted the same kind of ghoulish torture on their captives as Saddam Hussein did to his. This is wrong, as everyone knows, including me. As ghastly as the U.S. abuse and torture of Iraqis is, it pales to the genocide and other crimes committed by Saddam Hussein. My rush to meet a deadline produced writing which failed to convey my thoughts clearly and accurately. I commend the listeners who brought this to my attention, and I regret that the unintended but literal meaning of my words was so erroneous. That said, the test of the American military jailers is not that they were less monstrous than Saddam Hussein's henchmen. The test is whether they performed with honor. They did not. They engaged in torture, according to the International Red Cross and an Army Major General whose report 3 months ago documented a pattern of sadistic, blatant, and wanton criminal abuses in a prison that American forces took over from Saddam Hussein. Since then, similar unconfirmed allegations have emerged from other prisons where Iraqis are held. President Bush and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said again last week that the conduct of a few should not malign the integrity or character of the many in the U.S. military. This is obviously true, and it's obviously not the point. The point is that the administration sat on two reports detailing the prison atrocities for months and did nothing about them until the infamous photographs became public. Hailing the valor and character of the troops, which is beyond question, helps Mr. Bush and his defense chief change the subject from what has become just the latest case of bungling in Iraq. The first bungle was to lead us into a hornet's nest of a war on the basis of a choice, not necessity, with no exit strategy. This will cost taxpayers $100 billion or more next year, counting Reconstruction. Another fumble was thinking that a relatively light U.S. military force would be able to bring stability to the occupation, which it clearly cannot do. And it was a huge mistake to think that we can impose democracy on a country that is historically unprepared for it. You don't have to take my word for that last point. Representative Henry Hyde and columnist George Will, two leading conservatives, said as much last week. This is Lesser Coyne.